Well, wasn't that absolutely amazing? Can we give the boys and girls another round of applause? It's impossible to follow that, and I know if I'm well, some of you here, you don't want really me to follow that. I'm like the Brussels sprouts with Christmas dinner, kind of sadly inevitable, but not what you came to lunch for. You may like Brussels sprouts. I suspect you're in the minority, but that was just unbelievably well done this morning, boys and girls. What a fantastic effort, and we are so proud of you. We love having you in the church. We say that all the time, don't we? And mornings like this morning just underline that. What a brilliant bunch you all are. But wait, I do have one question, because one thing kind of confused me about that this morning. I mean, hold on. Emails, videos, tablets, cyber cafes, in the nativity story. I mean, I had no idea they had all that technology back then. I thought I was kind of up and on the modern technology, but it looks like I'm like at least 2,000 years behind the curve. So, I was impressed by that this morning. And technology is amazing, isn't it? Technology helps you do such incredible things. I mean, before YouTube came along in 2005, I don't think I'd seen any videos of cats falling off sofas. And now, I see at least one or two of those every single week. Isn't it amazing through technology how things can spread around the world so fast through Facebook or Twitter or, whatever it might be, YouTube? A video or a picture can spread around the world. And you know what that's called? Does anyone know what that's called when something spreads around the world really fast? Yeah, I was asking the children, Alistair, but... Well done. You're all welcome to participate this morning. Alistair is correct. Everyone give Alistair a round of applause. It's called when something goes viral. It spreads around the world. It spreads like a virus. So we've been thinking about the baby Jesus this morning. I want to show you some other pictures of babies or children that have spread around the world. I don't know if they've officially gone viral yet, but here are some funny pictures that have come. So can you see that up there? Just about the nice family photo, and he is devastated at the front. Okay, next one. Look at this guy tied up in the Christ. Something tells me he's got brothers or sisters, right, who have done that to him. That is so cruel. Okay, next one. Look, I don't know if you can see it. Get me away from Santa! And disturbingly, Santa looks quite happy that they're that scared, doesn't he? Which is kind of worrying. Next one. Nothing says season's greetings like a face like that. Okay, and then the last one. This is my favorite. Joy. And, I just want to, I don't care what letters you're holding. I don't feel joyful looking at that photo. Okay, thanks. Thanks so much. Here's my question this morning. How did this story that we've been thinking about this morning, how did that story go viral? How did it go viral? How did it spread around the world? There wasn't Twitter, there wasn't Facebook or email or YouTube or any of that stuff. So how did it go viral? I mean, we're here this morning talking about Jesus, and we're a few billion people around the world who still talk about Jesus, who love Jesus, who call Jesus their Savior and their Lord. And especially in this time on the lead up to Christmas, we're all talking about Jesus. And two questions come to mind when we think about that. First question is, what was so special about this baby that we've been talking about today? What was so special about baby Jesus that we're still talking about him 2,000 years later? And the other question is, how did that happen? How did this message spread around the whole world, right to the point of Aberdeen today, and it's still spreading around the world? Well, in this Advent season, we're looking at the four different accounts of the story of Jesus. In the Bible, we have four books that tell the story of Jesus. Shh, Alistair. Anyone know what those four books are called? What are the four books called that tell the story of Jesus? Yes. That's right, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they're called the Gospels. That's right. The Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they all tell the same story about the person of Jesus. But you know what? They all tell it a little bit differently. They have a slightly different audience in mind. They have different purpose, different aim in how they tell it. And last week, we looked at how Matthew tells the story. And this week, we're looking at the Gospel of Mark. And you know what? I'm so glad the way all the timing worked out. I'm so glad we had the story of the Nativity today, because the funny thing about Mark is when he tells the story about Jesus, he doesn't even talk about Jesus' birth at all. So it's good today when we're speaking about Mark that we had the Nativity story. The story that we've been thinking about today was a mix-up of Matthew and Luke mainly, but Mark doesn't speak about it at all. So here's the question. What does Mark have to say about Jesus? How does he start off his gospel? So let me read you some words from Mark chapter 1, the first four verses. Listen to this. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah, the prophet, he quotes one of the Old Testament writers from a few hundred years before. He says, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Then it says, "John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness." So Mark really starts his story, not with Jesus, in a sense, but he starts it with John. And then when Jesus first shows up on the scene, we see there down in verse 9 of that chapter, Jesus is an adult in the way Mark tells the story. He's about 30 years old. So what's that all about? There's no mention of a baby or a stable or anything like that in the way that Mark tells the story. He starts somewhere different. It says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Remember, I told you that all these writers have a different aim, a different purpose in how they present things. So Mark has a very special purpose. It's not that he doesn't think any of this happened, but he's just kind of leaving that to Matthew and Luke. Mark has a very special aim. He wants us to think about who is this baby. Mark wants us to know that this baby that we've been thinking about isn't any normal baby, but this baby is the Son of God. Jesus grew up and was born and grew up as the Son of God. Not just any man, but sent from God the Father in heaven. And Mark wants to shake us with that thought. You know, sometimes in the Christmas story, we can think, oh, it's so cute and a little baby in the manger. And that's wonderful to think about that. But Mark wants to kind of shake us away from thinking this isn't just a cute little story about a baby. Mark wants us to know that Jesus was the Son of God. And that he has a very special message to share with us. And this message that Mark presents for us in the gospel, it's a little surprising again. It's not really one that naturally sits on a very cute, pretty Christmas card. So let's read this message. It says, John appeared, John the Baptist, one of Jesus' relations, John appeared baptizing in the wilderness. And listen, proclaiming, that means speaking, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. What does all that mean? Well, we're going to figure out what that means. John has this message that he's sharing, and this is the beginning of the message going viral, going round the world. But it's not a message about a cat on a sofa. It's about hard words like repentance and forgiveness of sins. And soon after that, when Jesus comes on the scene, later in chapter 1, Jesus starts the work that God sent him to do. And listen to some of the first words that Mark records about Jesus. It says, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God, so sharing a message and saying, this is what Jesus said, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, there's that word again, repent and believe in the gospel. So we have this gospel. What does gospel? Does anyone know what gospel means? Anyone know what that word gospel means? Gospel means, yeah, good news, that's right. Gospel means good news. And Jesus, there's some things here that Jesus connects with. He's talking about repentance. He says that you have to believe the good news. And Jesus doesn't talk about forgiveness of sins. He says that the kingdom of God is coming near. So we begin to get a picture of what Mark is trying to do. Mark's trying to share this important message with us. And it sounds like an awesome message.
the first thing that Mark wants to know is that we can have forgiveness of sins. Now, what is sin? Sin is a word in the Bible where it talks about things that we have done wrong. Yeah. What were you going to say, Noah? Were you going to say what I just said about sin? Things that we've done wrong? Yeah, that's right. I think you were. Sin is things that we've done wrong. Wrong things against God. Wrong things against others. And John the Baptist is saying, now that Jesus is here, the bad things that you've done can be taken away. Repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus talks about the kingdom of God coming near. Well, we've been hearing about some of that in this nativity. Do you remember Herod thought that this new kingdom was all about him and how great and how special he was? And the scribe quite correctly made clear to Herod that wasn't the case. It wasn't all about him, but that there was a new kingdom coming, a kingdom where the Prince of Peace was the ruler. So it sounds pretty wonderful, doesn't it? This news that Mark wants us to know. Forgiveness of sins, the wrong things that we've done can be taken away, and the sadness and mess and pain of the world is going to be replaced by a new kingdom. There's a new kingdom coming, a kingdom of God, the Prince of Peace. This is the gospel. This is the good news that Mark wants to share. Now here's the question, right? Whenever you hear something that sounds wonderful, you want to know, how can I get in on that? How can I have a part of that? And this good news is something that makes a difference to our lives, and we want to know, how can we be blessed by the good news that Mark is presenting here? And the answer is back to this hard word, repent. Repent. If we want peace and forgiveness and life and hope of the good news, we have to repent. Now, what does repent mean? That's not a word that we use very often, is it? Like if someone does something nasty to us in the playground, we might turn around and say, can you stop doing that, please? Or that's not very nice. But I don't suppose any of you would turn around and go, repent of that mean thing you just did. It's a word that we don't know very well. So what does repent mean? Okay, first of all, to repent means to figure out that there's a problem somewhere. There is a problem. Things aren't right. Now, things aren't right in the world. We all know that, right? We see the news. We hear sad things. Things aren't right in the world. Things aren't right in our own lives. And it's to know that, do you know what? It's not just because other people do bad stuff to us, but actually, we sometimes do wrong things. We've made mistakes. We've forgotten about God. We've forgotten about the people that God cares about. We've forgotten to care about the things that God cares about. So to repent means to know there's something wrong with the world. And you know what's wonderful about Jesus is that Jesus always hung out with people who knew that things weren't right in the world. And Jesus shows us what God thinks about that, what God thinks about pain and sadness and difficulty. So for example, the first things that Jesus does when he comes in the world is he heals those who are sick. That's one of the sad things in the world, is that our family members, our friends get sick. And Jesus says, I know that that's not right, and I've come to make a difference. He heals those who are sick. He puts at peace those who were overcome by evil spirits. Jesus restores those who were seen as dirty and untouchable. And again, you can maybe think of some people in your school who maybe don't have too many friends. Maybe seem like no one wants to hang around with them. Maybe some of you feel like that sometimes. Jesus made very clear, God cares about that. He wanted to restore those who were seen as untouchable. Jesus hung out with some really bad people in his day, the crooks and those who were seen as the lowlifes of his day, those who everyone else thought were bad news. So we just have to be real about that. Sometimes things are hard. Even when you're 3-4 years old, things are difficult. And believe me, sadly, it doesn't go away. Things continue to be difficult in life. And part of to repent means to know that, to be honest about that, to know that there's a problem in the world. And then also to repent means to turn away from the wrong things that are part of the problem and to turn away from our own part in that. And also to acknowledge that, you know what? We can't fix it all on our own. No matter how hard we try, to repent means to say, you know what? I can't get all this right on my own. I need to go a different way. And it means to turn to God. to turn away from the problems and our attempts to solve the problems and to turn to God. And what I love about Jesus, boys and girls, is that he hung out with those who knew they needed help. That's what Mark wants us to know about why Jesus came into the world. In chapter 2, he makes this really clear. Look at this. It says, Jesus reclined at the table in his house with many tax collectors and sinners reclining with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. Tax collectors and sinners. Those were the people that no one else thought had any good in them whatsoever. And Jesus is hanging out with them. Jesus is being friends with them. Jesus is having dinner with them. And listen to what happens. The scribes of the Pharisees, those are the kind of very, very kind of impressive, so to speak, religious leaders of the day that everyone looked up to. They thought they had it all right. It says, the scribes of the Pharisees, when they saw that Jesus was eating with sinners and tax collectors, they said to his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? Why is he eating with those bad people? That's not what teachers of God are supposed to do. And listen to this. It says, when Jesus heard it, he said to them, those who are well don't need a physician, a doctor, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. Why did Jesus come? That's what this morning is all about. That's what you've done such a wonderful job of sharing with us. That's what this season is all about. Why did Jesus come? Jesus came to help people who know that they are in need. Jesus came for sinners like me, who have done wrong things, who mess up, and who make the world a worse place. Jesus came to help people like me and you, to bring forgiveness and hope. Jesus came to bring the kingdom of God, a different way from the rulers of this world that sometimes try hard to make it better, but they're struggling all the time. Jesus came to bring the kingdom of God of hope and peace and life and a future where one day everything wrong will be made right. And here's the thing, the message in Mark, it went viral. It went viral from a baby in a manger to Aberdeen today to some 2 billion other people around the world who are meeting together not just to think about a cute little baby, but to think about a savior of the world who's given them hope and forgiveness and life that they could never have imagined they would have on their own. People who have turned to Jesus for his acceptance and love and whose lives have been changed forever. So boys and girls, we as a church want to thank you this morning because you are helping this message go viral. You're helping share the good news of the forgiveness of sins that Jesus can bring. It's not just a silly story. It's not just a cute picture. It's a message that has changed the world, bringing hope and light into a despairing and dark world. And we see wonderful glimpses of that from time to time, and this morning is a little glimpse of the good news of Jesus. But you know what? One day, this message is going to come to fulfillment. It's going to come to its completion. One day, all things that are wrong and sad and painful are going to be set right when Jesus comes again. So we celebrate now that the kingdom of God is near in Jesus, and we look forward to one day he's coming back, and it's going to come into completion. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this gospel of Mark. We thank you for the good news of Jesus, the Son of God. We thank you that he came to bring forgiveness of sins. Lord, we know that we've all done wrong things. We can't make things right on our own. We thank you that Jesus came to bring the kingdom of God near. Not failed government attempts to make things a little bit better. Not an evil regime imposing a cruel message, but to bring the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the Prince of Peace, to bring hope and life and light into a dark world. Lord, and we know that we need to turn away from our wrong things inside of us. We need to turn to God. We need to repent and come to Jesus. And we thank you that you've made the way possible for us to do that. We thank you so much for these boys and girls. Thank you for the way that they have shared with us the good news that God sent his only son into the world to die for us so that we might not perish, but we could have eternal life. And I pray that that message would stick with us for this day and for this whole season, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to stand and sing our last song, Hark the Herald.